In recent news, blind taste test shows XP users love Vista. Welcome to Random Inspirations, show 11. Welcome my host, Willie Hayes.
Hey.
Chris Armstrong.
Yo.
And Dave Bond. Dave Bond is late today. That's okay. Better late than never. We have a few quirky stories today. We have a little taste test. We have The Dark Knight. We have a little NCAA football. And we have a new segment called Willie's Anecdotes. So that'll be a pretty good treat for everybody today. So,
can't wait for that.
Oh, I know. Although we don't know what it exactly is.
I don't either.
Oh, well.
It's just like random things.
You're gonna find some sweet stuff here in a second. I promise you. So, Barry, looks like, of course, they... You know, big news is for BlackBerry is their iPhone killer touchscreen. They've never had a touchscreen before because BlackBerry's always been kind of a just use the scroll wheel or the ball or whatever. And they've got the Bold coming out, which isn't touchscreen, but it's a new improved software and hardware, blah, blah, blah. But they have a new thing that's kind of going under the radar of all the other stuff called the Kickstart. The Kickstart seems to be almost a flip phone slash razor clone, I would say, but it still has, you know, the ball like a curve or a pearl, and it kind of goes more towards the consumer market instead of the business market or whatever you would say. So, kind of interesting. Dave.
Yes.
What's up, brother?
Are we recording?
We are.
All right.
Dave is in the house. So everybody say hello to Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Now, you listeners said hello to Dave, too, right? Good. Thanks.
I heard him.
Okay. Dave, we were just starting the show. We were talking about the Kickstart from BlackBerry, which basically is a... It's more or less a razor from BlackBerry, which what this does for BlackBerry, in my opinion, it enables them to sell like a bazillion phones, like like Motorola did, and that's how they kind of funded everything else that they do. But if BlackBerry is getting into the consumer market where it doesn't cost $400 to buy one of their phones, or they can start packaging these deals with. With whoever, a free phone with this service or whatever, that enables them for everybody to fall in love with the BlackBerry from the ground up. And as you move up in your cell phone needs, of course, you're going to stay with BlackBerry. So, that's a way larger market, the regular phone. And looks like to me that it's pretty slick. Chris, why don't you talk a little bit about this phone?
Just found the article, but it looks a lot like a Razr. It has the BlackBerry trackball, though. But the article said, according to crackberry.com, that the hardware seems to be pretty close to what the other one is, but it's not quite the same high-end, all-in-one type thing as the Bold. Yeah. So it seems to be, like you said, for more mass market. Apparently, it's not 3G, but it has a 2-megapixel camera. It will have Wi-Fi.
Really?
Yep. Well, one of them does.
That's cool.
The 8220 has Wi-Fi. The 8210 has GPS. Micro SD card. So, it does seem like to be more mass marketed and, Nokia or Motorola, or one of them sells like a million cell phones every day or something.
Yeah.
So there's a huge untapped market there for BlackBerry to get into.
Yeah.
Don't they already sell a ton of phones to businesses?
They do, but businesses, I mean, although a big market, consumers are like, what, 20 times as big? Just Joe Schmo, you know, rapid text messenger little girl on the street. I mean, how those people would, in my opinion, you know, get more use out of all the text features of a BlackBerry. Because, us, you know, if you look at it, it kind of has the same keyboard layout as a Pearl, which is a little better, you know, because it goes all the way across the screen instead of just on the 1, 2, 3 numbers. It has 4 letters wide.
Yeah, it's got the 2 letters per key.
Yeah, 2 letters per key, which is going to rock with text messengers. Hello?
Yeah, I have an anecdote. That
already?
Actually applies.
His call was dropped. Hello?
I'm going to just end him.
Okay, I'm here now.
I know
that you were all worried.
Did you anic your note when we weren't listening?
No, I wasn't. You weren't listening. Everyone else was.
Oh.
But I didn't anecdote yet.
Okay. All right.
Are we ready?
It's too early in the show for the anecdote.
Well, he has
but it's just one.
He'll have what?
Okay.
All right.
What'd you say, Willie?
Okay, so here's the anecdote. Basically, my father-in-law bought a BlackBerry, and he doesn't even own a computer. He has no email address, no nothing having anything to do with the internet. But he bought a BlackBerry because he wanted to email us somehow. So I just thought that was interesting. You're talking about what kind of Joe Schmo buys a BlackBerry. Well, he's pretty Joe Schmo when it comes to that kind of stuff. If he doesn't use it for work, he uses it, you know, as another communication tool. And there's my anecdote. So,
to add to your anecdote, I completely agree with that, because I'll be sitting here and instead of logging into my email, I'll pick up my BlackBerry and email while I'm at my computer, because I feel it's just as fast, if not faster, than bringing up my email, which is insane. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
But it's not. I can email as fast as anything on this thing, which is exactly where you need to be. You know, with a device. If it takes more time than using a computer, then you've inherently got a problem. Which it seems to me, you know, natural. I thought that was weird. I was like, ooh, I need to email this guy. So I picked up my BlackBerry and emailed you guys, rather than getting on the computer, which is crazy, but I did it and it worked fast. So that is interesting that the BlackBerry is his only, you know, email device, period. That's interesting.
Is EJ flickering out for anyone else?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wonderful.
I just thought you might want to know.
How bad?
Not too bad.
The recording is not flickering, and you guys sound good.
Okay. That's all that really matters.
I'm sorry I didn't catch all that.
In this article, it has comparisons to all these other different phones, including the Razr and the Crazer and even the BlackBerry Pearl. And yeah, it's actually from left to right. It's actually a little bit thinner than a Razr, which is weird because it has more keys.
Yeah.
But when it's closed, it's the exact same length, I guess, from top to bottom as a Pearl.
Yeah, I know. It's about 1.5 times as thick as a Pearl, right?
Yeah.
When it's closed.
Yeah.
But it's exactly
the
same height.
Same, like, yeah.
So what is the bonus of having this over the Pearl? Why would you want to buy this over the Pearl? Is it cheaper?
I don't know.
To have a flip phone? I thought flip phones were out. I like the flip phone because I'm freaking always pushing the stinking buttons, and I hate locking the phone and unlocking the phone. I hate that. So this might be as good an option for me, although I like my curve.
I would actually go with the flip phone other than a Pearl. Seems like you get more screen real estate, and your keys are a little further spaced out.
That's true.
So that would be better. I think, in general, the stigma, I guess, that goes with the BlackBerry is lessened by the flip phone. So maybe people won't be as intimidated by it if people are intimidated by it.
Yeah, it's just a phone.
That's right.
And it
Why would you be intimidated by a BlackBerry?
I don't know, because they're just for businesses. They're mostly for businesses, and, you know.
Just the same reason you said, Dave, is, well, doesn't BlackBerry sell to all the businesses? Well, as a person who doesn't use BlackBerry, I would go, oh, no, that's a business phone. I wouldn't want to use that.
Well, I could even bring it even simpler than that. You know, my gosh, it has 50,000 buttons on the front of it. That would scare people right there.
Yeah. You know? It's got a full keyboard. Why would I need that? Well, I couldn't live without it, but whatever you think.
Yeah.
But
no. Anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Good things for BlackBerry coming up.
Definitely. I think that's going to help them. You know, if they're selling 100 million phones, that's just going to make their other phones better. You know, they're just going to, in my opinion, you know, have all that much more money to rock their iPhone killer, so...
Yeah, and I don't know, but it seems like that they are more on the offensive.
For sure, they're not. Yeah, they're not. That's exactly right. I agree with that. You know, they've got a bigger market share than iPhone, especially with this, because I mean they're selling several different styles. iPhone's just one thing. So you know, iPhone may be a superior product in theory too. Just the BlackBerry Curve or the BlackBerry, the higher-end BlackBerry. But, you know, not everybody can afford a BlackBerry or a iPhone. So this is a phone for just the text messaging masses. So that's pretty good, I think.
Yep.
And I think
now
just...
Chris...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish.
I think just having the one thing that I see automatically that makes this superior to the others is having the two letters per key. You've almost got, you know, you've got the same idea as the Pearl with the QWERTY keyboard. So, I mean, that automatically makes it better for text messaging.
Okay, next topic.
Batman. Pow! Hey. Batman. Song. Everybody watched the movie, right? Willie, did you watch it?
No, I'm a loser.
Man.
Okay, but everybody else watched it.
Okay, no spoilers.
That was awesome.
Willie, you're killing me, dog.
Hey, I got kids.
Hey, they would like it. Two-Face isn't that scary. It's just a guy with half a face, literally, with bones and muscles sticking out.
Hey, you're spoiling.
Okay, so we can't talk about it now.
Dang it.
Sweet action. Well, what do you guys think?
I want to hear what Chris thought.
Without spoiling. Or do we want to wait till next show so Willie can watch it?
Is he going to?
Are you going to watch Batman?
Chances are probably not.
Okay, we can talk about
it. I mean, I will watch it someday.
Okay. Someday.
He didn't buy into the hype, evidently.
I don't know, I might. We might. Okay. I might watch it next Friday. Okay. So, whatever. You want to...
Chris, can you give us a one-word or a few-word description without spoiling it?
Did you guys watch the animated series growing up?
Yes. Absolutely did.
Okay, here's my short review. I thought it was the adult animated series. Like, if the animated series grew up, it would be this.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Which, I would say that's a good thing. What?
Go ahead.
I would say it's a good thing because I really like the animated series.
Yeah, the animated series is awesome.
Yeah, I think it's as good a Batman as there is. Unless it's really crappy and I was just a little kid. But from what I remember, that was like probably my favorite show.
And see, that to me, that is Batman. That's who Batman is.
Yeah.
Is the animated series.
Yeah, Batman. It's not the TV show or the like the little kid punky looking guy that looks evil with the spiky ears or the newest one animated series.
Yeah.
Or the gay looking penguin that was what's his face?
The Adam West series.
Oh God. It was horrible.
Now see, the Adam West series was cool in its day. But it's fun to watch to kind of make fun of.
Now. Yeah. So.
Yeah, the animated series was like a nice... It was like a piece of art, really. I mean, it was kind of like noir, but not in black and white. You know, it was colorized. It was dark,
almost Dick Tracy-like, you know, with old-school cars and stuff. Had like the old-looking, but, you know, rich-looking cars in it.
Yeah.
You know, the Batmobile was long and had its own design. Didn't look like any other Batmobile out there. But once you got used to it, it was the Batmobile. You know, that's just what it was, you know.
Yes. So what was your favorite episode of the animated series? Or favorite character, I should say.
Chris.
Don't know. Two-Face was actually pretty cool in the animated series.
Yeah, he had a lot of background story, which is cool that you say that. I guess, Chris, you're exactly right. I think the Two-Face thing tied in their cartoon big time, because that was a big character in the
yeah. He had several episodes that he was normal, right?
I think so, and he was Harvey Dent, and Batman liked him, and Batman liked him the whole time. He just knew he was evil, you know. So, you know, Harvey Dent, he's a bad dude, especially when he's always flipping the coin and crap, and one of them had, you know, a scratch on it, basically. One, it was a two-headed nickel or whatever. One had a scratch on it. How cool is that? Two-Face,
In fact, I remember one episode in particular where he was doing his flipping thing till if he was going to kill somebody or not, and it landed on the side.
Exactly, yep.
You remember
they,
that?
Like, magnetized it or something, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and he's like, what? No! And he like flips it again, and it lands on the edge. And he's like, what?
Yep.
I can't make a decision. And that's how Batman beat him. It was freaking awesome.
Yep.
So, that was a good one. One of my favorite episodes was, I don't even remember who this guy was, but he was like a movie star, and he had like a jacked up face. And it was actually what the deal was, is this guy made this cream to put on your face to make it...
Yep.
Awesome or better, and basically,
Clayface.
What?
It was Clayface.
Yeah, and so you put it on your face, and you know you can mold your face to make it look good, but the more you put it on, the worse your face gets. The more you have to use it. So he had this little bitty deal, and he was like, it was like a drug for him. You know, he ran out and had to have it because he was a movie star or something to that effect. He was a good looking guy. And he had to have it. And finally, he, like, begged everybody or got crazy with everybody. And then they, like, dumped it all over his body or down his throat or something. And then his whole body became this big clay thing that could morph into anything. It would bash cars. And so that was a pretty cool. I remember it was, like, a 2 or 3 episode deal with him. So
you know who Clayface's voice was?
Who?
Ron Perlman. Which is Hellboy.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. That was freaking great. We'll have to link the Wikipedia deal here. Make sure we get that in the show notes.
So, yeah. Chris, will Skype save this chat for me?
Mr. Freeze. I forgot about him.
You'll probably save it.
Okay.
So you have Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, the Penguin, the Joker, Harley Quinn. I remember
which is the Joker's assistant.
Okay, the Mad Hatter. I forgot about him. Yeah, that was a bunch of cool episodes about him.
He reminds me of Tom Petty.
The Riddler,
dude.
Catwoman, my favorite. And Two-Face.
My favorite one was this guy. which you'll remember it as soon as I start talking about it. He was like obsessed with time. Or maybe I'm getting these guys mixed up. But there was one guy, I believe his name was Enigma. Do you remember Enigma, where he was always about, huh?
That's the Riddler.
So, but his name was Enigma in the series, wasn't it?
That was his real name, yeah.
Edward Enigma. N-Y-G-M-A. Edward Enigma.
But he was called the Riddler?
He was the Riddler. So, Edward Enigma, they all had, like, alter egos, right?
Like, right.
Some of them.
Like, Dr. Victor Fries was Mr. Freeze.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. Harlene Quinzel was Harley Quinn. Jonathan Crane was the Scarecrow. Pamela Isley was Poison Ivy. That's great.
Huh.
Killer Croc. I don't remember that. Clayface. Here you go. That's cool. Man Bat. Dr. Longstrom was Man Bat.
Oh, I remember that guy.
I don't remember that at all. Man Bat.
It was freaky, man.
Oh, gosh. But anyway, yeah. Dude, they could go on forever with this as long as I guess we won't go into it until Willie watches it.
Sorry to spoil the fun.
Willie, your homework is to watch the best show that's been out this year. I know it's tough.
I know.
But do your homework. Okay. But this show, we show right here, if they go along the lines of the best... cartoon ever, then they have a lot of ground to cover with all these, you know, all these guys, and they could go on this forever as long as Batman doesn't get arrested for beating his mom and his sister.
Gah!
Yeah.
So brings us to our next story. Batman star Christian Bale asked for privacy Thursday in his first comment since allegations he assaulted his mother and sister at a London hotel. He said the incident was personal. Well, yes, it sounds personal, but unfortunately, when you beat your crap, you're not personal anymore, especially when you're, you know, the hottest actor of the day you do it, you idiot. He's saying he didn't do it. Of course, who doesn't say that? but I'm not sure what's going on. Assaulted. What does that mean? He verbally assaulted them? He beat them? I mean, what does that mean exactly? I haven't found any really information about any of this, but
it's because he's asking for privacy.
Right.
Privacy, as they say over there.
Privacy. He was born in Wales.
Say that assault is pretty much whooping on somebody. You know, verbal assault, I mean, I would say then it would just be...
Why would he beat his mom? Yeah. Who beats their mom? I mean, I could see, you know, getting into a fight with your sister and smacking her. But your mom? Come on, now.
I don't know. Maybe he
just yelled at him.
He says, "Get out of my room! I'm Batman!" they're like, "Take off the cape!" And he's like, "I'm Batman!"
I don't know. Maybe everybody in this movie had a tough time getting out of their character.
Maybe.
Know.
He's like, "I'm going to talk like this." They're like,
he is a pretty intense actor, apparently.
He's like, "No, I like talking like this. You're British." "No, I'm not." And he's all perched up on the TV and crap. They're like, "Dude, come down off." He's like, "I have my bat nunchucks."
"Hey, Batman.
I'm Batman." that's brilliant. Okay, you know, that's not good, man. So we'll see how that comes out. But Batman, you gotta chill, bro.
Some more movies, you know. Yeah, don't get yourself in jail.
No, he's stupid. I mean, I thought he was... I don't know. He's been some jacked up characters. Have you guys seen American Psycho?
No.
Oh my God. Has anybody seen it?
No.
Chris, you've seen it. Remember, that's the movie you and me and... what's his name? Kyle saw. Remember?
We did?
Yeah, you remember that one? American Psycho with Christian Bale. where he's like the he's like a killer guy. He's like a businessman. Remember?
I'm looking it up on IMDb, but I don't remember it.
Kyle always made fun of it because he was like, to not be graphic or anything, but he's like flexing his muscle in the mirror while getting down with some girls. It just cracked me up because Kyle would always he would flex his muscle and act like he was. Anyway, do you remember that, Chris? You remember Kyle doing that?
I remember him doing that, yeah.
Okay, that's where he got it.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen American Psycho with Christian Bale, it is a sick, crazy, insane masterpiece. So you got it.
Did you like it?
I liked it because it was a good movie, but I thought it was crazy. Like, and he, when they say psycho, the dude was freaking psycho, okay? And Christian Bale was also a newsie, by the way, Chris.
Oh, great. He just keeps getting worse.
Oh, no. The dude beats his wife. He's a psycho, and he's a newsie. Hey, who's a newsie?
Any of those, but I did see one with him in with the guy from X-Men, the Wolverine guy, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
In the, where they're both magicians.
Oh, yeah. Great, great movie. What was
what was that called?
The Illusion? No. The,
Was it called? Prestige?
Yes.
Prestige, yeah. That was a good show.
Very good.
Yeah.
It also had Alfred in that movie.
Did it?
Yes, it
did. Yeah, it did.
As who? What was he? I don't remember.
It's kind of the mentor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I remember now.
God, he was a newsie.
I know, man. He's the main newsie. He was on the cover. Yeah, he's the
first one listed.
I know. He was the newsie. Okay, if you're not familiar with the newsies, it's the most jacked up, retarded. Chris and I have a vendetta against the newsies, so even if you do like musicals and British weird, stupid movies, we hate it anyway because of a different story. We were in a competition, quote-unquote, and we were supposed to be, what were we doing? Lip-syncing to a song, and we were like, awesome rockers who rocked faces, and these girls dressed up like boys and were the newsies, and they beat us. And that made me upset because they were really cocky girls dressed up like boys. As
was newsies. That, wasn't Kenda mm-hmm. one of those?
Yeah. So, and she was probably the real reason why we hate it. Just, we don't hate her. We just hate her cockiness. You know what I'm talking about, Willie. You know what I'm talking about.
No comment.
Okay, no comment. This is a worldwide publication. I cannot.
I knew I had remembered
I don't
that
hate
name.
Her. She's actually really cool. Yeah. But when she was a newsie.
Oh, gosh. I remember that
saying,
now.
Saying, ha ha, I beat you, you sorry rocker. Ooh, son. Okay, so anyway, that's why we hate the newsies. And Christian Bale was a newsie, so there's my backstory. Don't watch that movie, but watch American Psycho.
And Batman.
And Batman.
And The Prestige.
And The Prestige. Christian Bale is a very good actor. But I think you'll look at him different after American Psycho. Seriously. Like, it's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah.
So anyway, there you go. Christian Bale, you're in my news.
All right, way to destroy it, Willie. Next topic.
Ding! We have new NCAA football 09, which hold on.
I'm just writing the shout outs as I go here.
Okay. That definitely needs to be in there.
Did that sum it up pretty well?
Very well.
Chris didn't remember the jacked upness of Batman and American Psycho, though Batman's jacked upness in Newsies is forever seared in his mind for reasons totally unrelated to the film. Fortunately, Batman's performance in The Prestige totally redeemed him. So if you didn't get that, go to our show notes at solidroots.com, where all of our fabulous show notes, currently written by Chris Armstrong and Dave Bond, are award-winning or will be someday.
Speaking of which, we're going to be moving over to BlueNoteStudios.com soon.
Excellent. We have Blue Note Studios in the works.
Yes.
Excellent. And just Willie, is Willie in the loop of this?
I don't think so yet, but he will be.
Oh. Willie,
entering the loop now.
We are designing Blue Note Studios as we speak.
Welcome to the loop.
So Blue Note Studios, if our listeners weren't aware, is a conglomerate of
you're making it sound like the man.
No. We are the man.
No, like the Batman.
No, like the Batman. Batman. Hello, everyone. We will be your entertainment. God, his voice was freaky.
Dude, that was good.
Thank
you. That was pretty good.
Golly, he's... his freaking tongue was freaking me out, dude.
You're spoiling it for Willie.
Oh, God, it's good, Willie. You got to see it. You got to see it. Okay,
NCAA.
So anyway,
I'm a little scared.
Studios. Let's explain this, Chris. This is good. This is good information.
Okay.
So right now we are on solidroots.com, which was Chris Armstrong's blog. That was his personal blog. So then we made Random Inspirations, which is the show you're listening to. And we started using solidroots.com as the show notes place in a blog format. So you could go to solidroots.com and either listen there, read the show notes, or you could subscribe to iTunes, blah, blah, blah. Well, Solid Roots is kind of Chris's website. So we're going to go to a website that will encompass all of what we do. That would be Willie, Chris, me, and Dave. And it will be basically a central hub for all that we do.
Well, it's our studio.
Yeah, it's our studio. And that's not a... When we say studio, you could have all kinds of studios. You could have a photography studio, a graphic design studio, a recording studio, which will all be encompassed in this quote-unquote studio. So the name of our group is Blue Note Studios, which has a pretty neat background to it. Of course, everybody knows about Blue Note Records and all the jazz from the, 50s, 40s, 50s? When was the era, Dave, of Blue Note Records?
It still exists today, but its heyday was probably the 50s and 60s.
The 50s and 60s. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's not everything, you know, we're not a jazz-only people. It just has something to do with that because, you know, that's basically... That's the name of the studio. So, anyway, all of our information will be slowly trickling over to Chris. What's the actual website?
BlueNoteStudios.com.
Ooh, excellent. We got the good one.
Yes, we did.
So, you will be able to go there and find out all information on us, our studios, our endeavors, and Random Inspiration. So, Blue Note Studios, but currently go to Solid Roots, and we'll let you know on Solid Roots when to start going to Blue Note Studios. So, that brings us to NCAA Football 09, which normally we talk about the game in and of itself. We talk about all the cool plays and the new animations, but today we're just going to talk about how crappy the Wii version is. So, you know, you have Wiis who are outselling, I should say, the other two, like 3-1 or something like that. But you also have Wiis who have crappy display. They don't do high definition. They don't have a hard drive, do they? They may have a small hard drive. I don't know. Does anybody know if they have a hard drive?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, they have not as good display, not near the processing power. And so you've got basically a, what some would say, a gimmicky gaming interface with the Wiimote and all that, which is cool. I think it's great that they did that. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think right here, I'll just kind of read some of this. It says, the simplest option is to only use the Wiimote, letting the game guide the player movement while the player simply moves the remote, gives the remote a quick shake for throws, tackles, or jukes. The problem is you don't really feel like you're impacting gameplay much. Well, that sucks. You can add the nunchuck, you know, and use
nunchucks.
The little, yeah, the little deal that plugs into the remote. It's called a nunchuck, and it has a little wire, and it goes over to your other hand, and you can use them both to move, or it has a little joystick on the thumb. Well, you can use that, the little joystick, to move and then shake the Wiimote to do stuff like pitch or juke or whatever. But there's no, you know, hey, I want to juke here or hey, I want to pitch here. It just kind of does one of them. So it's like basically they're trying to figure out how to incorporate, you know, the Wiimote and all that into the gameplay, but it really blows, basically. So it's still not exactly what they want. Now, I have heard that PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 are designing far superior Wii-like remote controls and systems. Just so you know. Have you, any of you heard about that?
No.
No, I haven't.
Well, I don't know if it's out much, but I think at the next big show it's supposed to be unveiled that, you know, both those are basically going to be superior in every way, and you have better graphics, and you have all the online stuff and blah, blah, blah. So if they do that effectively, they're going to probably get their market share back. But the problem is all that crap costs money, and they're already more expensive. I don't know. What they're saying basically with why they did that is because they're trying to bring in more of a casual gamer that the Wii did. The Wii brought in, you know, chicks who don't do anything, you know, or whatever, little dudes who don't care about, you know, gaming. Those are the people that they're bringing into gameplay that were never even into gaming before, and they can still play football. They just have to, when they want to do something, you know, shake the remote. And maybe they're thinking that will bring more people into gaming because you can turn it off and go back in, you know, just hold the remote and play like normal. So What do you guys think about that?
Kind of have mixed feelings about it, I guess. You know, I'm kind of questioning why they brought that game to the Wii, you know, because, like, I think of Wii and I think about all these fantastic simple worlds and, you know, or even like the tennis or bowling and stuff like that. And I think they should just stick to that stuff because they're good at it and they're outselling the consoles. But you start bringing in this other stuff, you're getting on somebody else's turf and you just can't hack it. You know, you're not going to be able to blow away a PlayStation or even an Xbox with your crappy non-HD graphics and your dumbed-down controls. I mean, just don't go there, you know? Yeah. I don't know. That's my opinion, but...
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what this article is kind of saying, too, is, you know, you're kind of messing up the game. I mean, it's not what it was meant to be. They put all this control into it, and all you're doing is screwing it up. But some people would never even play the game. So what they're doing, of course, they do this to sell games. They don't give a crap what you do with it. You know what I mean? So if this gets people to buy a $50 game or $60 game, then why wouldn't you do it? That's the real deal. I think it's crap, but whatever. I'm not the one selling it. Dave, do you like playing sports games?
I'm not very good at them. But they can be fun.
Okay. So you like it, although you haven't put enough time into it to really get it to do what you want to, which is fine.
No. I'm pretty bad.
Oh, you were in the Madden league, weren't you? I forgot.
Don't bring up things like that, EJ.
Why not? That was a lot of fun.
There's no need to relive that pain.
Was it that bad?
Dave, were you the 49ers of the NFL?
No, he was the Bills.
The Bills?
I was the Bills.
They had a good team.
I was the Bills.
They had a good team.
They did.
That was a lot of fun, though. You got it.
So I got a hold of them.
Dang it.
It was fun watching you guys laughing. Yeah, that was fun.
Okay. Yeah, didn't you win that? Weren't you like champion?
The first season I played, I was, Dave? The Packers. And I actually won the Super Bowl that year. And then I switched to the Eagles after that and never won after that. So there you go. Eagles just can't win the Super Bowl.
Well, see, okay, here's the thing, is that right now on Madden 08 football, my current record is like 2-10 or something like that. So I suck. I'm still on level 1.
You don't suck, by the way.
But wait, but here's how I justify it, is that all of my losses are against a Super Bowl champ, so.
Me? No. Well, the funny thing is, Willie, is every time we play an unranked game, you kick my butt. You don't remember all that? You're like, dude, I don't play a ranked game. Let's just play a fun game. And he rules me. It's like you're a bad test taker.
I was actually keeping up with you that last time until
and then it freaking disconnected, caused me to have a loss. That pissed me off, by the way. So Willie and I play online.
I did not get the W.
No, you didn't get that. What's up with that? You should at least get the W. If it's going to give me a loss, give the other guy a W. Whatever. But, so, Willie's gotten a lot better, that's for sure. Chris is a kind of funny player, too, because he didn't play very much, but somehow he always had, like, what's the word I'm looking for? He was very ingenuitive. He'd always figure out, he'd get in your head. Somehow he was a very good strategist.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
So I mean, he may not be able to just juke your butt on every play and figure out, you know, all the little quirkiness of the game, but he was good at figuring out how to catch you off guard.
I had to, because whenever I played EJ and I'd be on offense, EJ would like call this defense, and then he would move like 6 of his players around to different spots. Like his linebackers would be like his ends, and his middle linemen would scoot back a little bit or scoot over. Yeah, I mean, he would just shoot the gaps or whatever. So you got to do something. Most of the time, it had to be quick. So,
which caused you to be a better player.
That's right. So, you know, it's all your fault. I'm good now.
There you go.
EJ is the only person I've ever seen that would pause the game and literally change out players and, oh, let's try this guy over here. Every down, he would do that. You know,
no, like, not every down. At the first of the game, I would.
Like, if somebody was a coach.
If somebody was get him out of there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, can you say that when Jesse Jackson can't say nuts on TV?
Oh, yeah, nuts.
Absolutely, I can say that.
Okay, just checking.
I'm not Jesse Jackson, and this is my show, fool.
Okay, just checking.
We all got him. What does it matter? Anyway.
Oh.
All right. And in recent news, Microsoft took a play from Beverage Marketing this month with a blind taste test of Windows Vista. Company researchers rounded up XP-loving Vista skeptics in San Francisco to try out what they claimed was a new operating system, which they codenamed Mojave, or Mojave for all you non-Spanish-speaking fools. After taking the OS for a spin, the guinea pigs were let in on the secret. They were drinking straight off the shelf Windows Vista. The taste testers were overwhelmingly positive. Earlier this month, Microsoft announced a plan to tell the real Windows Vista story. Expect the footage from the not-so-hidden camera to make its way into an ad campaign soon. No word on whether they were any Chris Farley-esque outtakes. Well, I mean, basically, there's this weird thing that Vista sucks. I mean, everybody hates Vista, seems like. But
except for those who actually use the operating system.
It's of Mac users, of course. They're like, oh, God, Vista, my God. Have you ever used it? No, but I've heard it really sucks.
Well, they watched that Mac commercial.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that Mac, even though Vista is selling, what, 25 times more than Mac? You know, on machines, on just selling. Vista is on more computers worldwide than Mac will ever have. But that's not the point. I like Mac. I think it's great. I like XP, and I have not used Vista, so I'm not one to say that Vista is good or Vista is bad. But why do some people say they hate Vista? What is the deal?
Well, to be honest, I don't know why.
Do
they
you
say
use
that.
Vista?
That's what I use at work. Yeah. Okay, as far as updating goes,
okay. It's
10 times simpler to update Vista. Because it automatically downloads it and says, here, just click this button here, and it installs it.
Kind of like a Mac.
Exactly.
Except, does it have a little jumping monkey at the bottom that boinks, 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 boinks until you update? Because Mac
No, there's no jumping monkey.
No, that's annoying.
I know. It's like, doing, 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 doing. You're like, okay, update. Gosh dang. Leave me alone.
Yeah. So I can't vouch for everything as far as Macintosh goes because I've never really used one that much. But if I'm talking to an XP user and I say, well, file browsing is easier. Like when you're trying to find stuff, they've slicked that little Windows Explorer thing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just the interface looks better. Well, let's see. I'm trying to think of everything. There's like some built-in stuff, like I think Windows Defender is built-in, I think, which doesn't really matter as far as I'm concerned, but the photo viewing thing is slicker. It's like as you're looking through, even before you could do like a thumbnail picture in your Windows Explorer, now you can like go up to a really large, almost like, well, it's not large, but it's like a pretty big thumbnail that you can actually see what the picture is. And
yeah.
It's almost kind of like Adobe Bridge-like, if anybody knows what that means, to where you can kind of see the pictures without actually clicking them and opening them, which could take a long time on some computers.
Okay.
It seems to have this, let's say you open up Outlook every morning. Well, what it does is it remembers that you open that up every morning, and so it pre-caches it or, like puts it in memory as soon as you load Windows, and so it opens up Outlook like 3 times as fast or 10 times as fast. It does a lot of that pre-caching that kind of speeds things up. And then, of course, one reason I use it, Vista 64, is because I can address up to 8 gigabytes of RAM, which I know Macintosh users can do the same thing, but that's just one thing that's better than XP. So,
okay.
Anyway,
well, I know.
I think the biggest deal is the hardware requirements to run it just out of the box. I think that's mostly why it's gotten its bad rap, because it does take to run it smoothly. You do need a dual core processor. You need at least a gig, probably 2 gigs of RAM. And back when it was first starting out, that was a huge deal. But anymore, I mean, that's your standard PC that you're going to buy from anywhere. So
well,
I think it's gotten its bad rap.
Can I just say something about the hardware thing in Vista? That's one thing that I think Microsoft has kind of addressed that's really similar to the Macintosh in that they've actually shut out all of these garbage hardware things, that seems like Windows XP will run hardware from back 10 years. Well, you can't do that with Windows Vista because it's more, tighter, you know, and it's like everything has to be Vista compatible. Well, I think that's a good thing because you have fewer blue screens. You have fewer stability issues. So I know it's aggravating to have to update if you're already coming from somewhere, but if you're starting new, I think it'd be better. But I don't know.
Okay. What the other thing that I have a problem with Vista is I use software that is not Vista compatible, and I would have to spend about $600 to get that software updated to Vista. So I mean, get it updated to where I could even use it.
Now that's a problem you're going to run into if it. Regardless, if it wasn't Vista, you know, if it was some other new operating system, you're going to run into that anyway.
Yeah, but that causes me not to buy it, period. I won't.
Well, sure, but your next PC, it will have it on it, unless you build. By that time, that software will be available. And
the software is available. I just have to spend $600 to get it.
Okay.
See what I mean?
Well, how's that any different than on a Macintosh?
It's not, but when I bought the MacBook, I didn't have any software that would not run on it. I didn't have any software that I was using at the time that would also run on the Mac. So any software I bought anyway, I'd have to purchase. So It's not different, but to update both the Mac and the PC, you're getting into so much cost. When the PC runs fine on XP, it runs great. It runs my programs I need for recording. And then I have my MacBook. Now, the problem I had with the MacBook is it took the people who make my M-Audio, the people who make the sound card I'm using, took them freaking forever to update the Leopard drivers. So I wasn't even able to use my recording interface with my MacBook until like 2 weeks ago. So that was kind of ridiculous, which is the same deal with Vista. But, you know, whatever. You got to wait.
They actually say that you shouldn't upgrade because if you upgrade from XP to Vista, your install seems to be less stable. So they say you need to start clean, which would lend itself to next time you get a PC. So there's not a lot of incentive to
upgrade.
Yeah, to go buy it off the shelf and put it in your computer.
Is that where everybody's having the problems, is upgrade?
No, I just think people have this idea about it, and you know, it's kind of, it's unfair. And
I think part of
it's Microsoft's fault.
I agree 100% because they haven't hyped the product. I mean, I know that sounds ridiculous, but Mac hypes their crap. Every chance they get, they're freaking on it. I mean, Who doesn't think a Mac is slick just because of all the hype? Well, when you get on it, it is pretty slick. I mean, you know, there's weird stuff, but not a lot of it. And, you know, it works. It's fine. You know, there's little things that you can't do exactly the same. Like my Microsoft Messenger on a Mac totally sucks. I can't open Hotmail on Safari. On a Mac, it will not open Hotmail. It says there's some problem with getting the server or something. You're like, dude, because you don't want me to open Microsoft's email? That's total crap. So I had to install Firefox just to get Hotmail on a Mac. I don't know why. It just will not open a freaking Hotmail. So that's ridiculous.
I like Vista. In fact, I think one of my favorite features is the search. So, like, you hit either your Windows key or you hit the little orb, and instead of, like, scrolling through all the hierarchy of program files and folders and everything, you start typing.
And that is cool.
It comes up, and it's pretty quick.
Which is just like a Mac's little search.
Yeah.
It's called Spotlight. It's in the top right corner. You click on it, and you type in whatever you want, and all exactly what you just said happens. A lot of people say, which is probably true, that they copied Mac on a lot of different things, like all the little widgets and all, you know, yeah, all that. But
I really like those too, by the way. The gadgets, are they called gadgets or widgets?
They're widgets on a Mac. They're probably gadgets on a If they're called
gadgets.
That's hilarious. Yeah. They even copied the name.
Yeah. Which they are cool.
Yeah. So why not? If it's cool and it works, why not copy it? So everybody's they're already talking about Windows 7, the next Windows.
Which is lame because it won't be out for another at least 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the point was, I guess the point to my rant, which I just remember what the point was, Windows is Microsoft has totally screwed themselves because they haven't gone back to the whole switching to a Mac. If they would go to, I know they think they don't have to because they're selling so many copies of it because everybody who has a PC has to have Windows more or less, unless you're a renegade and use Red Hat or whatever. But all they have to do is get on there and say, Mac, you do realize we're selling over 10 times or 20 times or whatever the number is more things than you, And, even if Mac, did it, well, ours is cooler even though you're selling us more. That already puts people more like, oh, well, I didn't realize that Windows was kind of the big boy here. And Windows hasn't really said that. So the word on the street is Mac's killing Windows. Well, people are moving to Mac, but they're not. But Windows is still selling, however many times more copies of their operating system than Mac. So, yeah.
And a lot of Mac's money comes from its iPods and iPhones and stuff like that, which it could be argued that the majority of people that own those little peripherals are Windows users.
That's true. They just done a very poor marketing job. Even though they're still outselling, I guess maybe they don't need to have a good name if they're still outselling, but I think that's wrong. I think
they're more into brute force.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, supposedly it's coming, but
sounds like Christian Bale.
I am Windows.
Speak your mama.
I am Windows.
All right, I think it's time for Willie's anecdote.
Willie! All right.
Here's another one?
Oh, this is I've got about one. This can, four. This can be injected in any time, but Willie will have one every show from now on.
Okay.
This is just Willie's one? Random. No, we'll have a big one.
A big one?
Yeah, you'll have
one. I'll just rattle off a bunch.
Okay. Willie's anecdotes, everybody.
All right, my first anecdote has to do with the iPhone and use on a college campus. So this new iPhone 3G comes out, and one of our faculty members gets one and shows up at, let's say, we'll call him Jay. Jay is the guy that deals with all of the computers in our department. So this said faculty member says, Jay, can you have this iPhone connected to our network and surfing the web and connected to my email all in by the end of the day because I have to leave and go out of town? So he's like, I've never seen an iPhone 3G. So he gets and starts hacking away at it and trying to figure out, what do I need to do? Well, by the way, they couldn't find the actual USB thing to plug in and sync it up and all this stuff. So he spent like half the day trying to figure out how to get it synced up wirelessly. Well, so then he calls like AT&T and they're like, well, okay, you got to do this and this, and it may be able to be synced up wirelessly, but you need to call Macintosh. So they call Macintosh, and Macintosh is like, do you have the USB cord? And they're like, no, we don't have a USB cord. It didn't come with one. Well, they after forever looking for it, it was behind this little trap door, I guess. I don't know if you guys have seen the iPhone 3G, but it's behind this little trap door. I thought that was kind of interesting because it's like, it's supposed to be so easy to set up, but why would you put your cord behind a trap door? Why wouldn't you put it in a little plastic bag right beside the iPhone? So anyway, that was one of his gripes about the iPhone 3G. He gets it all connected, gets it all set up finally. And then he was complaining about the actual push button menu thing, how he'd push a button and then it would type like five different letters and all this kind of fun stuff. And so Anyway, so he fights through, gets it all set up, and then he gets an email from one of the other guys on campus. You know, they have like a group that they all email each other, and it's like, do you know anything about the iPhone? And which, of course, he had just set it up. And so then I guess he puts it out on this whole thing. Here's how to do it. So now this guy is the official iPhone 3G man that knows everything about the iPhone 3G on campus. And he's never seen one, and he's never had one. So I just thought that was kind of funny and interesting. And there's my anecdote. So
thank you.
And the crickets are...
That was wonderful.
Thank you, Jay. So. Anyway... Interesting. So his biggest problem was that they didn't make the cord accessible to sight in the box.
Yeah. And the keys, they're not really easy to touch.
Oh.
And this is not a big fat guy either.
Hey,
you know?
Man, when you first started, you know, caressing your girl, were you good at it? No. You got to get better at the touch, man.
Holy crap.
Yes, but a BlackBerry user doesn't find it very hard to touch those keys now, do they?
No, good point. This is a quirky girl.
Yeah. So they could improve upon that.
That is true.
But so you ready for another anecdote?
Yeah. Two and one. All right. Go.
This one's shorter. This is much shorter. So, like, this whole Obama thing. Obama goes to Iraq. Obama goes to Germany. Obama goes over here. And
Obama
saves
my soul.
Yes. And he has, like, three major networks that follow him over there. Could it not be any more obvious that the media is so wanting him to be president? It's not even funny. And I'm just looking at it and I'm like... Is anyone not getting this? Is anyone not seeing how stupid this is? And not to mention, Obama is totally copying John F. Kennedy every step of the way.
He better not copy him too every
heck?
Step. Or he might not the outcome.
Yeah. He talks, I don't know, there's numerous parallels, but one of them this past week was he goes to Germany and he's talking about Germany and you might as well said ich bin ein Berliner, you know? I mean, come on. You know what? I just don't understand. Does no one read history? Does anyone not going to stand up and say, well, Obama, quit being John F. Kennedy. You're not him, so just quit. Just be Obama. It's cool. So there's my second anecdote.
Interesting. Dave, I would like to know what you think about that statement.
Which part?
The John F. Kennedy part.
Well, I mean, he's been... The candidate he's most compared to is Robert Kennedy. Bobby. And just the idealness...
Ideology?
Idealist.
Oh.
I mean, the whole hope thing, the whole change thing, it's... I mean... Time and CNN and a number of news organizations have worked really hard to compare the 2008 campaign to the 1968 campaign of Bobby Kennedy and how wonderful that was and if it had only come true and maybe now 40 years later it's finally coming true and the world will be so much better and yes, it's ridiculous and they're doing a very good job of it.
So do you think this is a dumb question. But I want you to answer it anyway. Do you think the media will have more a part to do with who's the next president than ever? Or do you think the media always has to do with who the next president is?
Well, I mean, the media always has a lot to do with it. The media loves Obama in a way that perhaps a presidential candidate has not been loved in a while. Yeah, I think that's probably true. Perhaps ever. Because the media is primarily made up of a bunch of liberal idealists. And so Obama appeals to them very strongly.
When you
say,
I know this is probably another stupid question, but when you say idealist, would you define what you mean by idealist?
The opposite of an idealist is a realist who
Okay.
Looks at human nature as being what it is instead of what we wish it would be. You know, the world works a certain way, and I don't want to get too political, but liberals tend to be idealists, whereas conservatives tend to be realists. Liberals tend to believe in the goodness of human nature and that if we all work together, we'll make the world a better place, whereas conservatives tend to realize that's a bunch of crap. Does that sum it up for you?
That clarifies the term idealist. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
Chris?
Yeah.
Are you an idealist?
Probably not.
Probably not. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
All right. All right. Does anybody else have an anecdote for us?
I have one more.
Willie, you are on a roll, brother.
So I was playing with a straight pin a while ago, and I was just kind of flipping it up, you know, and while we were talking. And so then I flipped it up, and I could not find it anymore, so now I'm scared I'm going to stab it into my butt.
Oh, awesome.
There's my last anecdote. So.
Nice. Okay, well,
there we go.
I think that's show 11. Dave, you've done an awesome job of writing the show notes.
Thanks. I hope it saves them.
Last show, we had an outro of Mr. Rush Harvey's music. And this show, I don't know who we're going to have. We might do some acoustic hollow. We haven't played some hollow in a while. So hollow's still rocking. I'm not in the band anymore because I kind of moved states. But you can still find them at myspace.com/hollowrock. So we're going to put an acoustic version of one of their songs up that they recorded in Blue Note Studios. So we try to keep perpetuating our arts. So, and remember, keep looking for the initial voyage of BlueNoteStudios.com. Also, show 10's notes are written by Dave Bond. So please email us at Chris. What's our email address?
ri@solidroots.com.
All right. Which might be changing to ri@BlueNoteStudios.com. But for now,
Something like that.
Or comments or something. We'll do something. But any questions, comments, you want to add to the show, anything, please email us at ri@solidroots.com. Again, this has been EJ Hayes, Chris Armstrong, David Bond, and Willie Hayes for show 11. Thank you and goodbye.
Out.
I love you guys, and I mean it.
Willie, don't stick yourself.
I'll try not to. Can hold me like you do.
There's a pain that goes beyond an explanation. When I lose someone I love, until this time is through, I can lose everything but you. Storms rage all over.